This is the Florida Roundup on WLRN. I'm Tom Hudson. Thanks for listening this week. It was just a week ago, the heart of South Florida's tourism industry was declared a Zika zone. Today, Governor Scott visited Miami Beach amid accusations of playing politics with public health. And we'll have the latest on Zika and try to sort through who's in charge in a moment. Is it the governor in charge or the Department of Health for Florida? And how about the efforts to drain cover, spray, and fog? Are they working? What do you want to know about Zika? Line up the calls right now, 800-743-WLRN, 800-743-9576. Another week, another conversation about Zika here on the Florida Roundup. You can tweet us at WLRN as well. But first, Florida's run of luck will continue. It's been more than 10 years since we've been hit by a hurricane. And despite plenty of worries earlier this week that a storm system in the Caribbean threatened to end that streak, this system that shall not have a name, at least not yet, just hasn't mustered the strength. Invest 99L is the meteorological name for this low-pressure system that hasn't graduated to a named storm even yet, but has been receiving plenty of attention and continues to be a matter of concern for us here in South Florida. Jeff Huffman is a meteorologist for us at the Florida Public Radio Emergency Network, which includes WLRN. He's with us from the Weather Center in Gainesville. Jeff, what's the latest forecast for this Invest 99L system?
Good afternoon, Tom. Not much has changed in terms of the forecast. And keep in mind, there is no really official forecast from the National Hurricane Center on a track or a strength because it's not a tropical storm or a hurricane yet.
Not even a depression, correct?
Correct. Not even a depression. Despite tropical storm force winds that were noted a couple of days ago, the system is less organized this morning and this afternoon. Development into a depression or storm is unlikely, at least in the next 24 hours and maybe even the next 48 hours. As it moves across the Florida Straits and into the through the Keys and maybe into the southeastern part of the Gulf of Mexico, conditions are more favorable for potential development. But the general idea that this is a weak system, tropical or not, approaching from the southeast really hasn't changed. I want to make that very clear. There's not really been a change to the forecast. It's just it hasn't developed into an actual named system yet.
And the track that it's taking has moved a bit more south and west to really put Monroe County and the Keys more in focus than mainland South Florida.
That's correct. And if you remember Tropical Storm Erica last year, there's a general idea. This doesn't happen all the time. We know that an exception to this rule may be Hurricane Andrew, but there's a general idea that when a system is weak or struggling to survive, it will trend west. It will trend west of the forecast for an actual named system. Yeah. So remember with Erica, it trended southwest and it had to go through those islands of Hispaniola and Puerto Rico. This system, just like Erica, is trending west because it's rather weak and disorganized.
So the big headline here Friday afternoon, no named storm anticipated for southeast Florida, but this could be a pretty significant rain event for us this weekend. Beginning when?
Beginning as early as tomorrow afternoon. Some of the convection or thunderstorm activity may flare up with this. It's going to be difficult to nail down the exact timing because when a system's disorganized, all the thunderstorms are not necessarily near the center, and they kind of happen at different times. There's generally a trend of the heaviest rain with these type of systems occurring in the late night and early morning hours, and it tapers off some in the afternoon, which is somewhat different than what we're used to here in South Florida. So rain, yes, is the biggest, I guess, known thing with this system.
Jeff, how much rain?
Potentially 3 to 5 inches, I think, is a general idea for most of South Florida. At least that's what the most reliable forecast modeling has suggested. As with any tropical system, though, heavier amounts of rain could fall in some pockets.
What's the second threat you were going to mention there?
Well, it's a little less uncertain, but there is a concern that if this does strengthen into a depression or a tropical storm, especially when it crosses into the Gulf of Mexico, South Florida would be on the right side or the east southeast side of the system. And if it develops enough vorticity or spin, there's a concern for some isolated tornadoes. That's a lesser known hazard right now, but it's certainly something to consider, especially as we get into the Sunday-Monday time frame.
Jeff Huffman, meteorologist with us from the Florida Public Radio Emergency Network in Gainesville. Jeff, let's hope for a quiet weekend, okay?
Absolutely.
All right. Thanks so much. You, of course, can follow along with all the latest details around this low-pressure system, this Invest 99L, on WLRN social media streams on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. And also, you can download the Florida Storms app and have it right there on your smartphone. This system will bring plenty of rain, as Jeff said, to the area worried about standing water here in South Florida. Puddles and politics. both may be stagnant in this fight against the spread of the Zika virus.
I think it would be more useful in the future to let the elected leaders know what's going on so we can take the necessary steps.
That is Miami Beach Mayor Philip Levine, what he said on Monday at a roundtable with Governor Scott in the Zika zone in Wynwood. It was a cordial meeting, if not politically tense. Here's Governor Scott on Monday at that same meeting.
I'm going to make sure we give out accurate, timely information. Now, as I said today to the mayors, is there any requests that have not been fulfilled? And I didn't hear of any requests that have not been fulfilled.
The two met again for another Zika roundtable, this time in Miami Beach's Zika zone. So have you been confused about who's in charge here, where to go for answers? Have you asked for one of the state-supplied Zika testing kits? Has your home, office, school maybe been inspected? 800-743-WLRN, 800-743-9576. All over social media, look for us, Facebook, Twitter, etc. at WLRN. Sammy Mack back with us again this week on the Zika beat still for us here at WLRN. Welcome
back.
Turns
out there continues to be news.
How about it? The mosquitoes continue. Jenny Stiletovich watches all things environmental for our partner in the Miami Herald with us from our Doral studios. Jenny, welcome back to the Florida Roundup.
Thanks for having me.
And Kate Stein watches the environment and transportation for us here at WLRN. She was at that round table I just concluded on Miami Beach. She joins us on the telephone. Kate, let's begin there. Describe the environment for this roundtable at the end of the week. The Monday roundtable was, as I described, cordial but tense at times. How about this morning's?
Yeah, well, this roundtable, I overheard someone describe it as a Turkish bath because there were just so many people crowded in this room. One really long table, you know, surrounded by basically county leaders, Congress people, a lot of representatives of businesses on Miami Beach, lots of people in the hospitality industry. And then also some consulate generals, which we hadn't really seen before. And basically, there was kind of an overview discussion of some of the things that we can do to prevent Zika. And there was also a lot of talk about the intersection of Zika and some of the other ongoing South Florida right now. So this storm that's coming and the need to get rid of excess standing water that could come from that. A little bit of self-congratulation about dealing with Zika and the start of school. So overall, I would say it was a pretty broad-based meeting where a lot of leaders got to express their concerns and then also, you know, talk about the successes that they've had in fighting the Zika virus.
Kate Stein, stick with us here. Jenny Stiletovich, we mentioned the puddles and the politics here. What's the threat of all the rain in the forecast this weekend to the efforts to combat the Zika mosquitoes?
Breeding. That's whenever there's standing stagnant water, the fear is that all those mosquito eggs, old ones and new ones, are going to hatch and we're going to have waves of mosquitoes. So there, Mayor Jimenez just held a briefing at the EOC where he talked about how much larvicide they and how many storm drains they had treated. So that's their big fear, is that more standing water from heavy rain is just, you know, increases breeding grounds.
Jenny, last I heard, the county had scheduled another aerial spraying for the Wynwood area for Saturday morning. Is that still on?
I believe so, and that will be the larvicide treatment, which is this organic bacteria that, not as much controversy as the NALID.
Yeah, the BTI, the NALID being the chemical,
right,
where there's controversy over that. And what do we know about the previous sprains that have happened in Wynwood and downtown? How effective have they been, Jenny?
Well, this week, the county said that they had knocked down the mosquito populations in Wynwood by 90%. The CDC had told me after the earlier aerial sprayings, they found that where they were applying both the adulticide, the NALID, and the larvicide in a 2-square-mile area around Wynwood, those populations were way down. But in the larger area where only NALID was being sprayed, the mosquitoes were coming back faster.
And were these specifically the Aedes aegypti species that's
yes,
a threat? Okay.
Yeah, that's all they're treating for right now. The marsh mosquitoes, I don't think they're worried about marsh mosquitoes right now.
And just sticking with the treatment efforts here, spraying has not been scheduled for Miami Beach. In fact, a number of folks have said it's really unlikely to be effective in Miami Beach because of winds and the high rises and the larger kind of urban concentration.
Right. And the CDC said this week that it's not out of the picture altogether. It's still a tool, you know, that they've got, but they're going to try and treat it by ground. I think my sense is that There'll be more resistance to nailed spring in Miami Beach. Yeah.
Jenny Stiletovich watching the environment with our partner, the Miami Herald. Sammy Mack, healthcare reporter for us here at WLRN. What's the latest on the case count, Sammy? What do we know this week?
So as of yesterday afternoon, we are holding steady at 43 locally acquired cases in the state of Florida. We got about 11 more that come from other areas that are travel-related cases kind of scattered throughout the state. And we have, at the moment, I think about 10 open investigations right now, or excuse me, there are 9. I just checked on the website. There are 9 open investigations into locally acquired cases. We know the locations of 2 of those. One is, of course, the area in Wynwood. The other is the area in Miami Beach. And then we know the counties of the others, but right. We don't have more specific details.
One of which includes the second locally transmitted case under investigation in Palm Beach County. That was announced this week.
Right.
And then for the first time in the Gulf Coast.
Right. Pinellas County has its first locally acquired case. And from what I understand, leaders there are asking to know a little bit more specifically about the location, because that's been a sticking point here in terms of when people announce, when DOH announces where things are and the sort of thresholds for announcing more of a an identified location right. than just it's in the county.
That was the when we were here a week ago, that was the point of tension. We had just come off a Thursday night, late night news conference by the mayor of Miami Beach, Philip Levine, responding to Miami Herald reports about cases of locally transmitted Zika. And then literally 7 days ago this hour, Governor Scott announced 5 cases of locally transmitted Zika in Miami Beach. Kate Stein, you were just off of the roundtable held on Miami Beach. Was there any more conversation or frankly pressure put on the state about more specificity regarding the geographic location of these locally transmitted cases?
There was, but not to such an extent that we've seen at that press conference. Earlier this week when Mayor Levine was a little bit up in arms with Rick Scott for not having come to Miami Beach sooner. Today, Levine was expressing his gratitude pretty profusely, saying, thank you, you know, for coming to Miami Beach. We really appreciate your presence here.
You know, this miscommunication or confusion has been among the storylines that we've seen over the past month or so since Zika really came into focus. We heard from the Miami Beach Mayor Philip Levine say earlier this week that local officials should be getting more information from the state. On Wednesday, the media was invited along as field workers from the Department of Health went door to door in Miami Beach talking with homeowners in the evening. The press release wound up in a lot of our email inboxes. I have mine right here with a letterhead from Miami Beach and a Department of Health contact communications person listed
Olga Connor's
here.
Olga Connor's number right
but
there.
But adding to this confusion, the problem was the health department or the residents knew that the media was coming. One of our reporters spoke to Mariano Corselli, a resident who was interviewed by the health department Wednesday night.
I mean, that's kind of weird when you have 3 people go up to you and be like, hi, we've never met. Can I have bodily samples? And then there's a gaggle of media. Who's going to want a peanut cup in that situation?
Indeed, a rhetorical question there. Sammy, what's going on here?
That is such a good question. So we get this email at 4:30 in the afternoon saying that there's going to be this media availability at 6, which gives you 90 minutes to get down to the beach. I didn't go because I'm pregnant and the CDC has told me to stay away from that area, but our intrepid intern, Amanda, went.
Right,
yeah.
Right. Because of the Zika threat.
Sure. Right, because of the Zika threat. And so what ends up happening is the folks from DOH who were doing the on-the-ground canvassing seemed to have no idea that this was happening. They weren't talking to any reporters. The poor people who were being asked to provide samples and participate in the action of public health were totally freaked out by all these cameras in their faces. And of course, they're not going to want to pee in a cup for the cameras. And the other piece of this is that part of the reason so many reporters showed up and were so excited about this is we have been asking to know more about this process since the very beginning. And the details have not been particularly forthcoming. So it seemed like this was an opportunity to do some good like health communication and understanding of the epidemiology and the process of it. And then it turned out to be a total implosion.
This is the Florida Roundup talking about Zika again. That was Sammy Mack with WLRN. Jenny Stiletovich covering the environment for our partner, the Miami Herald, along with us from our Doral studios. And Kate Stein, watching the environment, is on the telephone with us. Let's go to your phone calls, 800-743-9576, 800-743-WLRN. In Miami, Maggie, let's begin with you. Welcome to the program. Go ahead, Maggie.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. I'm 6.5 months pregnant, and my husband and I, who live in North Grove, have had the county come out to see our property and spray, but I can't seem to get any information on whether or not I'm at risk of transferring any sort of adverse effects to the baby if I were to become infected by a bite. Given the fact that I'm in my third trimester, I'm really concerned, and I just can't find anything. The most information I've obtained is from a Washington Post article back in April that indicated that there was a woman in 27 weeks of pregnancy who was bit and whose child was born with some scarring in the brain and ruptured retinas. Do you have any information to help us?
Maggie, thanks for the question. Congratulations on the news. And Sammy, you can hear the worry and frustration in her voice.
Yeah, part of what's so upsetting about this is that there is so little that we know about it. And again, congratulations. And lady, I feel ya. So here's what we know. We definitely know that there is a link between Zika virus infection in the first and second trimesters and potential harm to the fetus. There is mounting evidence that other things can happen if you have an infection into the third trimester. They may not be as immediately obvious, which again is part of what's so scary about this. I don't know if you, because you're in your third trimester, would necessarily qualify for one of the DOH tests, although it would definitely be worth asking your doctor about. And at the very least, you may be able to get tested at a private clinic if you are interested in doing that.
Maggie, have you gone through your doctor, your primary care doctor, your obstetrician, asking for information?
I have, certainly. And I was given a little tiny piece of paper with the information on the DOH. The director of the Department of Health was actually on a jury panel for a case I was trying in federal court 2 weeks ago. Of course, she wasn't picked because she's too busy right now. But yeah, the plan is to be tested Monday. I'm also getting information that doesn't seem to comport with other pieces, which is how long does it take to get the results back?
Yeah.
So if I were to be tested Monday, am I going to find out in 3 to 4 weeks?
That is, if it is a state test, if it is run through one of these state DOH tests or county DOH tests, yeah, that is what we are hearing right now. Again, the private labs are running on their own timetables, and I'm not sure what it is. Initially, those tests were taking a couple of weeks, but because all of us at the same time have elected to go get tested, there is now a bottleneck.
Sammy, we also had a question from Ed. He was going to try to join us on the telephone, but he had to go. He was asking about the long-term risks for non-pregnant people, clearly non-pregnant women, but also men. Is there long-term risks?
There potentially are. So one of the sort of severe outcomes of the Zika virus in anybody, not just pregnant women, is this thing called Guillain-Barré syndrome, mm-hmm. which it's very similar to polio in terms of what the symptoms look like, not in the long term, but it goes and attacks nerves. And we know from animal models that it also really likes brain tissue. So there is some concern about what that means in the long term. It has been seen less frequently in men than it has been in terms of the damage to fetuses, but it is still a possible outcome.
Let's take one more call here in Miami. Michael, you are on the Florida Roundup. Go ahead.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. You know, I believe that there's a very small correlation, very small, like around 1%, between microcephaly and Zika itself. But between DEET and birth defects, there's a very high correlation. So if we ask for $1.9 billion to fight mosquitoes in South Florida, you know, this is like trying to eradicate grass.
Yeah, so Michael, let me correct something. So the $1.9 billion you refer to was the request from the White House for federal Zika funding. That was not all $1.9 billion to fight mosquitoes, mosquito abatement in the state of Florida. In fact, the majority of that money was going to go to the National Institutes of Health and other health research looking for Zika treatment and Zika vaccinations. Is that correct, Sammy?
Right. And let me get at this 1% and the DEET thing. So this is a thing that I have been seeing a lot on the internet. I have been trying to chase down where people are getting these numbers. The New England Journal of Medicine did run a study that looked at women who were pregnant and had symptoms of Zika during their... So they were symptomatic during pregnancy, first and second trimester, and found that up to 30% of the fetuses in those cases were did appear to have some kind of damage. And so I'm not sure where those numbers are coming from. The studies are coming fast and furious, but they are all very new. And in terms of this DEET microcephaly link, I haven't seen the research, and I'm looking for it. So if you want to send it to me, feel free. Tweet me at Sammy Mack.
Michael, we appreciate the call.
I would also like to say that Australia has been working on a bacteria to infect the insects, especially the Aedes aegypti mosquito, mm-hmm. that is not a poison, but it actually allows the transfusion of all bloodborne diseases, including dengue, to not go through mosquitoes into humans. Yeah. And I think that's a much smarter course of action.
Michael, it's a great point. And Jenny Stiletovich, I'd like to kind of put a broader question to you, which is these alternative measures regarding the focus on the bugs themselves. It's been focused locally here on the BTI, this bacterium, as well as the NADAL, the chemical. The Keys is undergoing a significant debate about the use of GMO, genetically modified mosquitoes, and what Michael in Miami just spoke about, some of the international research going after this pest in many different ways. How many of those are being actively discussed amongst either researchers or really mosquito abatement professionals here?
More right. There are actually the tests he's talking about in Australia. They're testing that same. It's called Warboro virus in California now. The genetically modified mosquitoes that the Keys will get to vote on in November is another area. One of the concerns I've heard, especially with the genetically modified mosquitoes, is that so far those have only been used to treat small isolated communities. And there's a question of whether or not a dense urban area like Miami-Dade County, Broward, you know, Palm Beach County, right. if those mosquitoes can be used. There's other things, too, that are being looked at, different kinds of repellents. I think this whole thing has really ramped up research into mosquito control.
Definitely. One final question on the health side here, Sammy, that's coming in. As we know, the warning is for pregnant women and those trying to conceive. How long does Zika stay in semen?
No, I can't remember, but I think the recommendation is if you've traveled to wait 8 weeks if you're a woman and maybe even 6 months if you're a man to try to conceive. Although I don't know that number off the top of my head, but it's from what I understand, whatever the recommendation is, it is based on a pretty conservative estimate because they're still sort of figuring that out.
Sammy Mack, health affairs reporter here for us at WLRN. Jenny Stiletovich joining us from our Doral studios with the Miami Herald. Kate Stein was on the telephone watching the environment, checking in for us from Miami Beach. Thanks to everybody. Still to come here, the Florida Roundup continues, the first of two proposed constitutional amendments on solar power. It'll be voted on next week. Will it harness the power of the sun in the Sunshine State?